Welcome to Friends in Prison. I'm Claire Aronson, and I have 29 friends in prison.
Hello, welcome. If you're new, thank you so much for tuning in. And just to lay the groundwork for you, I'm Claire Aronson, and my friends are all people that I have met on pen pal websites and have not yet met in person, although maybe that will be a future episode. Who knows? Interesting things are always happening. Last time I talked about pen pals that just didn't work out with me. I had maybe 3 or 4 people that I wrote to who I just didn't hear back from. And we're going to continue with that conversation today. Also, I'm going to touch a little bit on what it's like being a married woman and writing to men who are in prison. So as a little bit of a warning, if you are one of the younger listeners, this might not be the episode for you. If you're one of the older listeners, there's nothing too explicit or exciting, so I don't want you to get too hyped up about it. I just want to remind younger listeners they are welcome to tune into the podcast, but not to write to people in prison. It is not my rule, but that of the prisons and also of the pen pal websites, that you must be 18 or older before you start conversing with someone you don't know in prison. So yes, there are exceptions for people who have family members in prison. I'm not saying you shouldn't talk to somebody that you already knew after they've been imprisoned, but it's a good idea just to wait until you're older. You want to make sure that nobody's taking advantage of you, and also that you understand all of the implications of the things that you write to people who are in prison. So from that point, I want to talk a little bit about, like I said, what it's like to be a woman who is writing to men who are in prison. And I will say, you know, even though I have 29 pen pals, it's still a pretty small sample size. I do have 2 female friends who are homosexual that I write to, and neither one of them have ever, you know, flirted with me or made me feel uncomfortable in any way. And like I said, that's a small percentage. I'm sure you might also get a situation with someone who's homosexual where you wish you had set up stronger boundaries from the beginning. That being said, I also write to a lot of men, and a lot of them are really great, very respectful, and, you know, definitely have never made me feel uncomfortable in any way. But those aren't the people we're talking about today. The first person I want to talk about is another pen pal who is no longer a pen pal, and why that happened. And I don't want to say that he made me feel uncomfortable. This was just one of those situations that you should be aware of, you know, when you're talking to somebody in prison. So I wrote to this guy, and it was great. When I got a letter back from him, I got to admit, I think that I was excited to hear from him because he reminded me of Juan. And Juan is one of my favorite pen pals. You know, all of my pen pals are my favorite pen pals. But he, just in kind of superficial ways, they're both Catholic, they're both Hispanic, they've both been in prison for a long time, and they both have very neat handwriting, you know, very easy to read. And so I think that that's why I was like, oh, this seems like it's going to be a really interesting pen pal. So in the very first letter that he wrote to me, he said, I woke up this morning and began reading my Daily Bread. If you don't know what that is, it's like a devotional magazine. A devotion means like that religious time. A lot of people do it in the morning. They'll read a little bit of the Bible. They'll contemplate on it. They might even study it. They might read books about the Bible, and then they have a short prayer. So these magazines like Daily Bread, it's magazine like Reader's Digest, if you want to envision that type of format. And it will actually have it laid out, a couple of Bible verses, how that pertains to modern life, and then there'll be a little prayer that you can repeat. Okay, so in today's reading, which was November 5th, 2019, there was your name. So let's just say that I found it very interesting. So here he also sent me the actual page out of the Daily Bread. So it says, when was the last time you felt compelled to help someone only to let that moment pass without response. In The 10-Second Rule, Claire de Graaff suggests that daily impressions can be one of the ways that God calls us to a deeper spiritual walk, a life of obedience prompted by love for Him. The 10-Second Rule encourages you to simply do the next thing you're reasonably certain Jesus wants you to do, and to do it right away before you change your mind. And so he goes on to say, you know, how serendipitous it was that I should write to him the very next day, and how interesting that was. I just felt like this is somebody that I wanted to get to know better. We exchange maybe 3 or 4 letters, and so let me read you a little bit. I've been in prison since 2005. This is from his second letter to me, without any meaningful/steady correspondence with a female. Prior to my incarceration, I was married for 10 years. So for me, it was really difficult to carry on with a woman in correspondence or conversation altogether. I feel almost broken in this area. I got on to write a prisoner, to meet people and hopefully meet someone and build a relationship. After 2 years of no luck, I've just accepted the realization that I wasted money I didn't have, trying to meet someone compatible. I never received many responses. When I did receive a response, they were 18, 19, 21, and one who was 38. The 18, 19, 21-year-olds, I was just like, my daughter is 21. For me, that just was not my cup of tea. The 38-year-old was from Germany, and I don't know, it's just discouraging knowing that the probability of building a meaningful relationship with someone that's so far away that you'll never get to see or really know was just discouraging as well. I also had 2 homosexuals respond who I didn't respond to. I'm not judging their lifestyle, but again, not my cup of tea. And now I receive a response from a 41-year-old woman, and she's married. Just my luck. You seem like a really nice person, and it was touching that you wrote me back after I didn't respond to your last letter. And in that letter, you mentioned the Bible, saying that you should visit prisoners. I knew exactly what you were referring to, Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46. People fail to realize that even Jesus was imprisoned for crimes he was not guilty of. Not all of us are guilty of the crimes we're accused of, Claire. Most people are quick to judge without knowing how our justice system operates. Regardless of your guilt or innocence, the justice system does everything in their power to convict you. You are provided a court-appointed attorney. Keyword, court-appointed. They don't have your best interest at hand. They don't work or get paid by the defendant, so their loyalty isn't to you. It's to the court. They don't care about you or your family. They only care about ridding themselves of the cases at a rapid rate because there are so many of them and they don't have time to actually give each case the attention that it needs or deserves. I'm just so grateful that I have God and my kids, my mother, and my high school buddy by my side. So I can totally understand someone looking for a relationship and going to these pen pal websites in order to find a special relationship. And I tell people, look, I know you're looking for what you're looking for, and I know I can't be that because I'm married, and I'm happily married in case that needs to be said, but maybe we could still be friends. And I think that that is a helpful thing to people who are looking for a relationship. I think that it is a good thing to have healthy friendships in your life as you are working towards having that important relationship. So I just want to mention one more letter. So it said, this is from the same pen pal. I'm not good at communicating via correspondence. I've just never had the experience or anyone to faithfully have a correspondence pen pal relationship with. Finally, someone wrote to me around my age, you, and it turns out you're married. I'm not going to lie. When I first read your letter, my first thoughts were, what the? I thought you were a swinger or something. No disrespect intended. I was just confused, but that's just my luck. But no way. Even though I hadn't written to you, I always thought and wondered about you. And my intentions were to write you back. I just never sat down to do it. I was awoken from my sleep and told I had to report to the mailroom. Well, when I got there, I was told that I had been denied a letter from Claire Aronson. Reason, because you wrote with a marker type pen. Well, fortunately, the lady at the mailroom opened the letter and said, I have a pen that writes just like that. This is ridiculous. You shouldn't have been denied this letter. So here you go. She gave it to me and I thanked her for her kindness. That being said, they just implemented a bunch of ridiculous policies. We can't receive letters with any colored pens, markers, lipsticks, perfume, and we aren't even allowed to receive any cards, birthday, holiday, any sort of cards. Also, they changed the picture policy. Now we're only allowed 10 pictures per envelope. I don't know if you sent any pictures. If you did, if you sent more than 10, they would have called me down to tell me they were denying them. So I'm assuming that you didn't. If you do, please enclose them when you write me back. I'm really sorry. I haven't been a good friend, and I assure you it isn't you. So I wrote to him again, and a couple times, you know, and it seemed from his letters that he was saying, look, I'm not very good at remembering to sit down and write back. But eventually he did write to me and say that he didn't want to write to somebody who was married. You know, he wanted to be respectful of my relationship with Nico, and it just wasn't appropriate for him to be writing back and forth with someone who was married. So, it's just a little heartbreaking, because sometimes in his letters, he would say things like, don't give up on me. Where are we? I hope you don't think I'm a jerk, because the truth be told, I'd like to think I'm really good-hearted, down-to-earth, humble, and fun individual who can make the best out of any situation. And I believe you are above all of the above, and then some. But you don't have to tell me I'm a jerk for not responding quicker, because regardless, I feel like one. You deserve a much better friendship than what I have given you, so I'm sorry for that. Your kindness and willingness to give me time, despite my slowpoke ways, is truly a blessing. I mean that with the utmost sincerity. I promised you that I would be a better friend. Believe me, I'm trying, so don't give up on me. I don't write anyone, and I guess that's probably why I can't seem to get used to sitting down to write someone. And I thought that you are married. I think that makes the transition even more difficult. I don't expect you to understand. Just know that I'm trying to look past that and be the friend you'd like me to be. I did make a promise to you about responding quicker, and even though it's been a few weeks, I don't believe I've broken that promise, right? So don't be mad at me or hate me for being a tortoise in this area. With your help and perseverance, I know I'll eventually come out of my shell more often. Thank you for the pictures. I enjoyed them. That was actually a very pretty snake, just too big and creepy. I had a python once. It was a pretty cool pet. Wild snakes are just unpredictable and, again, creepy. So, like I said, I mean, I really enjoyed writing back and forth with this person. And then he said that, you know, he didn't want to cross a line. He wanted to be respectful. And I just kind of said, huh, I mean, I guess I have to give you your space and respect that, you know. It's a little bit weird for me because I'm kind of a dowdy soccer mom type, you know, not the desirable type. So it's easy for me to think, hey, we can be friends because, you know, even if you're a guy and I'm a girl, because I'm just kind of goofy and I have lots of friends who are guys, and I'm not really intimidating to other women. But if there is no other woman, maybe that's where that issue comes in. So I just want to say, even with somebody who is as respectful as this pen pal, you need to make sure that you set up those boundaries in the very beginning. I'm married. If you're not married and you're not looking to date someone in prison, it might be a good idea to start with people of the same gender. You know, it might be a good idea just to avoid that. I don't want to encourage people to lie, because my first thought is the easiest thing to do is just to say you're married. But you can say that you can only offer friendship. You could say something like that. I will tell you that I had another pen pal, and I still write to him, and I think we were able to get past this story that I'm about to tell you, but I wish that I didn't have to, you know? I wrote to him, And when he wrote back, he included some little, what do you call them, word games. And some of it were little riddles and things. And I'm like, okay, yeah, excellent. You know, I'll write to you. You write to me. This is kind of an interesting back and forth. And then he included the Marry, Sex, Kill game and had a couple of names of celebrities, talk show hosts, that sort of thing. And I was like, well, I mean, I get that the point of that game is to encourage a conversation. Okay, well, I don't really know that talk show host. And I kind of went on and responded to it like that. And in the next letter, he did it again. And I was like, you know, I'm just not interested in having that kind of conversation. I don't want to discuss sex with my pen pal. So I ignored it as if he hadn't asked the question at all. And in the next letter, he asked me for my favorite sexual position. And I was like, look, this is what you asked me. And I don't think it's appropriate. And I don't like that you asked me this question. And since then, and he did apologize. And I think, you know, it's just one of those situations. Here's a guy that's in prison that doesn't have a lovely lady in his life and thought that he would kind of test those waters. But I wish from the beginning when he sent me the questions, the first Marry, Sex, Kill questions, that I had said, you know, that I'm not interested in talking about that. And we can talk about other things. We can talk about sports. We can talk about, you know, current events. We can talk about funny stories and pet peeves, the types of things that you would talk about with your guy friends. Do you sit around playing Sex, Marry, Kill with your guy friends? Do you write to your male friends and ask them their favorite sexual position? If you don't, then don't talk about that with me. So, like I said, from that point forward, he has been respectful. If I had been more clear in the very beginning, we wouldn't have had that hurdle to get over at all. So, you know, this may surprise you to learn. I think I still have one more friend that I started writing to who stopped writing back to me. So this is somebody that was one of my very first pen pals. I'm interested in deaf culture and learning sign language. And I do know sign language, but not well. You know, I've only taken two classes in American Sign Language, so I have a lot more to learn. But I'm very curious about what accommodations are provided for people who are deaf and in prison. I know that it can be very dangerous to have an interaction with the police if you're deaf. You know, you want to make it clear that you are not purposefully not following orders or instructions, you just can't hear. So there's going to be different policies in different states and different prisons. So I was just curious about what the real life experiences were for someone who's deaf in the penal system. And at writeaprisoner.com, not a sponsor, you can search for keywords. So I searched for the word deaf in people's profiles. And I found this guy who said that he was interested in learning about deaf culture. And I do have some friends who are deaf. And so, you know, I wrote to him and I said, I'm hearing, but we can both talk about deaf culture and we can talk about sign language. And, you know, it could be just something that we have in common to start off our pen pal relationship. And quickly, we talked about lots and lots of other things. And he just had this, you know, way of writing where it was like, hey girl, you don't have to be so mysterious with me. You don't have to hold back. You can be open with me. You don't have to be so shy. And you know me, I'm not shy. I'm like, look, I'm sorry, I am an open book. It's just that this is all there is. So I you're expecting me to open up. I've already opened up. This is it. I'm just not that deep, you know? He wrote to me and he said, how do you feel when you see a letter from me in the mailbox? And I know I'm adding some inflection to his words, but I just kind of responded and said the same way that I feel whenever I get a pen pal letter. It's always nice to hear from you. It's great whenever I hear from one of my pen pals. But apparently this was not the answer that he wanted, because I think that was the the last letter that he wrote to me. And, you know, I write a couple more times. I usually just send a generic happy 4th of July and here are some goofy jokes kind of letter. But that was the end of that. And even with him, I wonder, did I need to just be more clear from the very beginning? You know, I do write about Nico. I always mention that I'm happily married, that I have kids, that I have lots of pen pals, because I kind of want people to know, hey, this is something that I do. I have lots of friends who are in prison, and some of them are of the opposite sex. And I never do have a relationship with them. I don't. Before I go, I want to tell you just a couple more things, a little bit of housekeeping. I went and checked my mailbox, and there were two letters from me in the mailbox. One of them was for Kelly. And if you remember, Kelly was transferred, and my letters got sent back to me. And later he explained to me that if my letters ever get returned, I can look at the BOP, which is BOP.org. I think I just Googled BOP. That's the Board of Prisons. And you can put in the first and last name of a federal prisoner, and it will tell you the new address. Even if he has been moved, that is the most up-to-date information. So when I saw this letter returned, I was like, what? He got transferred again? Okay, I know what to do. I'm going to go to the BOP, and I'm going to get his new address. And when I looked it up, it was the same address. I looked more closely at my envelope. It turned out that I had forgotten one of the numbers in his prison ID. So do be very careful that you fill everything out correctly on a white paper, white envelope, that there's no extra stickers, including address labels or return address labels. So I just opened it up, put it in a new envelope, put the correct number on it, and whoosh, off it went. The other letter was from RJ, and that one said it had a little sticker on it. It was being refused because of an unidentifiable substance, perfume, crayon, or lipstick. That's what it said, perfume, crayon, or lipstick. So I looked at it on the outside of the envelope. It looked like a fingerprint from a greasy potato chip or something. And I was like, this one isn't my fault. I think it was the postman. I know people are always blaming the post office for missing mail and things like that, but I promise. So just as a reminder, be very careful with your envelopes. One of my habits for some reason is to wash my hands. I think maybe because I'm in the kitchen, you know, I do something and then I'm like, oh, all right, I'm going to wash my hands. And the stamps are right there. Let me put the stamps on the envelopes, but my hands are still moist. So I want to make sure that they are completely dry, that, you know, before you get it sent off, and then you're wasting time because it gets sent back to you. In fact, I was writing a letter to Lonnie the other day, and it looked like the inside of the envelope, maybe a little bit of the glue had touched the inside of the envelope and it had just smeared that security print. So I didn't use that envelope, just to be safe, just so that they know. Also, I do have permission from my pen pal to read this letter and to tell you her name, but I just don't want to include the name because I think that it is so personal. And I just want to read this to you so that you can have an idea of why it is so important to write to someone who's in prison. And I'm going to read it slowly because her handwriting, while it is so beautiful, it is very loopy, and so it can be difficult to read. So, which is strange, you know, I have friends who have very precise block text handwriting, which makes it easier to read. But as I said, I would never tell her to write any differently because it is gorgeous, very, you know, poetic looking handwriting. Claire, hello, friend. How are you? Well, my world is falling apart at the seams. And then some. A lot of stuff is going on all at one time. I should have never trusted these people who say they are my friends, but now I know that I'm truly all alone in here. And when I realize that, I'll be better off. I'm fighting my feelings of being betrayed and wanting to betray someone else. I just hunger for some attention so bad sometimes. But I know better, especially after 13 years of people. It's just such a lonely ass place. Pardon my language. I cry so much and I bury myself under my bed covers to just deal with this life. I'm here for two things that I had no physical involvement in, but knew about after the fact. It's still very difficult to live with, but one day I'll tell you all about it, okay? I just feel so very lost and alone. And that is why I want to thank you for the time that you take to write to me and send me pictures. They do make me very happy. Sorry if I'm rambling on and on. It's just that I need to release all of this built-up feelings of sadness, anger, and loneliness. I'm waiting to go to PM education, and I don't feel good physically or mentally. I miss my family so much, and I need my kids. I'm just a real big mess these days. How is your depression lately? It's a hard thing to beat. I take medication, but it doesn't really help a lot. I avoid people like the plague nowadays. I eat alone. I cry alone. It's awful. How are the family and the pets doing? I wish I could have a dog for comfort right now. 5:52 p.m. I'm back from school. I'm wired, but I just have no energy left. I just showered and ate 2 tacos. I just want to keep on eating out of depression and boredom. Sorry to be such a downer. I realize that you're working. That you're working in you too. Well, I just got to call home and do my homework. Sorry, so short. Your friend. So, if I could just impress on you how important mail call is to people who are in prison. And, you know, it's so interesting for people like us to make friends and to get that letter in the mailbox, but it is exponentially exciting and important for them to receive mail. So if you do have the time, if you do have the inclination, please Google finding a pen pal in prison. Check out a couple of different sites. Find someone's address and just drop them a line. I'm out of time for now. I'm excited to talk to you next week and see what new adventures we can get into. Thank you so much for listening to the program, for telling everybody about the podcast, for subscribing. And as always, find your own friends in prison.